Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor of Midland First United Methodist Church, and on behalf of all who are worshiping with us and leading worship this morning, I want to welcome you, whether you are here in our sanctuary, perhaps joining us online this morning, or later in the week on MCTV. We're grateful for this opportunity to share in worship together. As we begin our time together, along with the announcements that have been highlighted with the worship slides, as we've had our hymn sing, I do want to highlight a few more opportunities here at Midland First to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And for that first opportunity, we're going to hear from Gabrielle regarding the Next Generation Summer Concert Series.
I want to thank you all for supporting our first two concerts of our premiere season of the Next Generation Music Concert Series. Next Sunday at 7 p.m., right here in the sanctuary, we will be hosting the third and last concert of this series for this year. We are hosting a young organist named Ethan Neal. He will be joining us for worship next Sunday also. And he is going to provide us with a concert of organ music, which is pretty exciting because we all thought organists were kind of a dying breed, but there seems to be a revival in that area of music. So please come, bring your friends and neighbors. If you know any music lovers in your world, please invite them. It is completely free. The only thing we ask is that you enjoy yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle, and wonderful opportunity to take in some music and a wonderful opportunity to indeed encourage that next generation of worship leaders in the church. So I invite you to that time together. Another exciting opportunity, we have Hillary Ferguson sharing regarding a family day of prayer.
So today, I'd like to greet Alec. Hi, Alec.
Hi, Hillary.
Hi, Violet. Do you know the Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
Do you want to think about other ways to pray?
Yes.
Are you coming to the day of prayer on Thursday to do just that?
Yes.
Be like Alec and Violet. Join us on Thursday. This is a repeat of the Family Day of Prayer from last summer. Come and go. No sign-ups. Bring your children, grandchildren, or attend on your own. Prayer stations will be in the pool area and the sanctuary. Simple, pure prayers are a key part of the day. Attend and try praying with Play-Doh, Legos, and M&Ms, plus lots more. Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. I think you got me with the M&Ms. Alec and Violet, thanks for helping us share that exciting opportunity here at the church. Finally, I just want to highlight and thank you for using our name tags to help me to get to know names, and perhaps we might use that opportunity to get to know one another's name here in the congregation. So we're going to continue doing that for the month of August. Thank you for your patience as I try to fold as many names and faces into my mind and memory as I'm starting out here. So thank you for all of that. With all that, I'm going to invite us to stand. Indeed, there's a blessing of coming together and being together in worship. So let's take the next few moments to stand and greet one another this morning. Thank you.
Please continue standing and join me in the call to worship. Let us walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Fill us with the fruit of his Spirit. Please continue standing and join us in the opening hymn.
Privilege of affirming our faith this morning with an affirmation from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 37 through 39, and the words are on the screen or in your hymnal on page 887. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us.
that's a good thing to be. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, do you guys like to run fast, shorter races called sprints? Or do you like to run really long races called marathons?
Marathon.
Wow. Good job. Sprints? I think a lot of kids tend to like sprints. But we have some marathon runners in our congregation. Please stand up if you have run a marathon as an adult. Are any of them here? Oh, busted. Okay. They're probably out training. Adults are keen about running marathons. And today we're going to be talking about Paul and his life for Jesus. Paul's life was a marathon, not a sprint. He faced hardships, made friends, and never stopped telling others about Jesus. His story encourages us to keep running our race of faith, even when it gets tough. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for teaching us through Paul's story about finishing the race strong. Please help us keep the faith like Paul did, no matter what challenges we face. We ask for your help with the things we're worried about, and we thank you for all the good things in our lives. Give us the strength to run our race for you. Help us persevere. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join me in the community prayer. Dear God, thank you for another beautiful day in Michigan and wherever we are as we worship today. We are thankful for your provisions, for our faith, and for the way you work in our lives. Please be with anyone today who is suffering, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Help us to know you are present in our daily lives and we can lean into you for support and help. We pray for peace in the U.S. and around the world. Please help the value of sweet, individual lives to reign over hatred and past transgressions. Be with those in Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, and so many other conflict areas around the world. Protect the innocent and heal those who have suffered loss. Please be with our church. We thank you for Reverend Africa, Pastor Bethany, and all the church staff and their leadership. Help us respond to the needs in our church and community with caring action. We are thankful for this time to gather and worship you, to fellowship with each other, and to move into each of our weeks centered in your grace. Amen.
Thank you, Beth, for leading us in our prayers this morning. As we continue in worship, we take the time to share in the giving of our offerings and our tithes to God. As we share in this time, if you're in our sanctuary, I'm going to encourage you to fill out the friendship pads. This helps us to stay connected as a congregation. If you're joining us online, if you would, encourage you to place a comment in the comment section of whatever platform you're on. It helps us to know that we're staying connected to you through our live streaming. If you're a guest of our congregation or this is one of your first times worshiping with us, we simply invite you to sit back and to reflect on God's blessings being poured into your lives at this season of your life. If you're a friend or member of this congregation, we want to thank you for your ongoing support of the missions and the ministries here at Midland First. Let us continue to delight in our giving back to God. May our ushers please come forward.
Thank you.
Please stand and join us in the doxology.
Almighty God, as we gather together, we are mindful of your blessings. Your blessings in our lives that provides for our needs. Your blessings that allow us to participate in your work here today. Your blessing of being the church, the very body of Christ. And so we offer these tithes and these offerings and ask that you'd bless them, that we might continue to be about the work and the mission of the church of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. We pray this in his very name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament, comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and then also 14 through 16. Invite you to open your Bibles if you wish to read along, or your Bible app on your phone or tablet. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 182 of the New Testament. And today I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul writes, "Therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all." Moving ahead to verse 14. "Then," meaning as we mature in our faith, "then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Can you think of a time when you experienced a sense of belonging? And perhaps even beyond an ordinary sense of belonging, you felt as if you were a part of something bigger than yourself. You might even describe it as Eugene Peterson does in his paraphrase of Ephesians 4, verse 1, as running on the road God called you to travel. Just had that sense about you that you were on the right road. Moments like these are memorable ones, yes? They're the sort of make your hair on your arms stand up kind of moments. I most recently encountered this sort of feeling or this sort of moment when I officiated my sister Leilani's wedding shortly before the start of my appointment here. Leading up to Leilani and Brad's wedding, and on the day of, I was hyper aware of the fact that I was wearing two hats, not to cover up my short hair, but two roles, right? So on one hand, I am the pastor. I am the wedding officiant. On the other hand, I'm also still older brother. And if you know me, or as you're getting to know me, you know that I have a tendency from time to time to become verklempt. So many of you know that word, right? To get choked up. Verklempt sounds more dignified, so I thought I'd throw it in there. So on Brad and Leilani's wedding day, I made a conscious effort to lean more into my role as pastor that day. After all, someone has to make sure that the bride and groom say their I do's. And I wanted to do so while choking back as few tears as possible. There we go again. And I was doing an excellent job of this, of being pastor, until at one point in the wedding, the bride, my sister, looked at me. And immediately, my heart relented to being more Leilani's older brother than just the pastor. And then in that moment, I soaked in the blessing we share of being a family. With my sister in front of me, both my parents in the front row, with Cara, my wife, and Andrew, my son, my brother and his family, and my aunt all in the second row, and all of my sister's children, along with Brad, standing with them as their wedding party. For me, it was one of those moments Make the hair on your arms stand on end sort of moment. Not being one to take such moments for granted, I'm aware that these times of belonging can be infrequent. But hopefully you've encountered them to one degree or another, perhaps amongst friends or in your own family, perhaps in sharing in a mission trip here at the church, perhaps in being part of a team. These are exhilarating moments. Do they not bring us together? And when they occur as being part of the blessed community, when they occur as being part of the church, are we not reminded, as Pastor Bethany highlighted for us last Sunday, that God is able to accomplish abundantly more than what we can ask or imagine when we become part of something bigger than ourselves? Turning to the Apostle Paul's words, starting in Ephesians 4, we find Paul in verse 1 in the familiar role of encourager, literally begging the church, pleading with the church to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. In essence, Paul wants them to grab hold of everything, to grab hold of God's absolute best for them that is well within their grasp. Or perhaps, as Robert Browning suggests in one of his poems, "Ah, but a man's reach should exceed his grasp." This is Paul's greatest desire for the church in Ephesus, to live into the fullness of God's promises and its life together, to experience more that is beyond their own grasp, but which God is wanting to give them. But for this to happen, for them to do so, Paul recognizes that they must be one. One body. One church. Running after all that God has for them. And what's great about Paul's approach here to encouraging the church is that he's honest. He's realistic with the church. Let's keep in mind that those coming together to be the church at this point could not have been any more different. For through the church and through Christ, God was bringing together under one roof believers and unbelievers, Jews and Gentiles, those who were slaves and those who were free, bringing together male and female. And by God's grace, God was making them into one church, one body. And so Paul is realistic in what it takes to be one. We hear this encouragement along these lines in verses 2 and 3. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. It's tough work sometimes, isn't it? Implicit in Paul's message to us is that this takes effort. It takes being intentional about how we're going to live together. It takes being humble. It takes being gentle and patient to be one. It's amazing how these ancient words fit us so well today, right? It takes being humble, gentle, and patient to be one. To be one body, one church, pursuing together God's best. This doesn't just happen. It takes all of this. Furthermore, Paul tells us that all this effort on our part is still dependent on the very foundation of sharing common ground. The common ground of sharing one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, one heavenly Father who is over all and in all and living through all. All of which God has gifted, all of which God has given to us. Enlisting all these realities, Paul is pointing out all that we share, the church. This one body where the church is the interconnected body of Christ with Christ as the head. Sharing one Holy Spirit that invites all of us and brings all of us into the church. Paul is reminding us that we share one hope, that hope being the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we share in one Lord to whom we belong and to whom we serve, that we share in one faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we share in one baptism through water and the Spirit, that we share in one God who is forever faithful, who is forever working and forever present. Perhaps more than ever, I believe this is the witness we must bear as the church today. This very message. This is the sacred ground. This is the sacred space that we must provide in our communities in the world today. The ability to hold our common ground. The ability to be one, even with our differences. I believe that's part of the sacred work of the church today. I believe that's how we might best witness the love of Jesus Christ in our world today. To show the world, to show our communities, that we can still be one, even when we discover and even when we encounter our differences. Specifically, whether we're considering the recent separations within the United Methodist Church, or where we're standing as a denomination today, or if we're looking at the state of political discourse in our nation and even beyond, or even the nature of simple interactions today that too often seem contentious. More and more, I believe that this is the road God has called the church to travel. More and more, I believe this is how we are to lead a life worthy of our calling At Leilani's wedding, as her brother and pastor that day, I had the privilege of offering grace before their meal. And so with microphone in hand, I took the liberty to offer an older brother speech, if you will. I don't know if that's an official part of wedding receptions, but I decided I'd take the liberty to do so. I had the microphone, just like I had this morning. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Brian. And wanting to pass this lesson along to my nieces, my nephew, and my son who was in attendance, I took the liberty that afternoon to share with everyone in attendance at the reception that as a Filipino-American family, we try so hard to be perfect. And that as a Filipino-American family, we try even harder to appear perfect when we are not perfect. And after doing so, I acknowledged all the imperfect days as a family, all the unexpected twists and turns, all the difficult bumps and bruises that led up to this one perfect day as a family at Leilani and Brad's wedding. The fact of the matter is, it takes a lot to be one. It takes a lot of work, a lot of commitment, and a whole lot of grace to be one. Whether as family, whether as a community, whether as one body, one church, all pursuing God's best, common ground, differences, and all. May it be so in our lives, may it be so in our families, may it be so in our church, and our communities. Amen? Amen. Friends, I so appreciate that we are celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning. For it's through this sacred moment that we are reminded that we are indeed one. And so this morning, as we celebrate communion, I want to remind you that as a United Methodist Church, we do so with an open table, mindful that God extends God's grace to everyone. And so if your heart is open to receiving God's love, you need not be a member of this church or any other church to celebrate in communion today. We invite you to the table. We're going to celebrate communion through coming up front. And so we'll have two stations up here. The ushers will direct you forward if you wish to come forward. We'll come forward through the center aisle and return to your pews by the side aisles. The elements that we have here today are all gluten-free. And so I invite you to receive the elements as such. Our liturgy or our preparations for our readings and prayers for communion to prepare our hearts and spirit to receive this gift of God's grace can be found in our hymnal today. It's on page 12. The congregation's responses will also be projected on the screen behind me. So at this time, let us calm our hearts and quiet our minds to receive this gift of God's grace. And as we come to the table, remind us once again that it's Christ our Lord who invites to his table all who love him, all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, together let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take these next few moments of silence to confess our sins to our loving God. Hear the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and our praise.
It is right, and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory. We feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us join in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many share in being the one body. And with one cup, we share in the love and suffering of Jesus Christ. At this time, I'd like to invite forward those who are helping to serve communion, and as our ushers, as we prepare to share in this sacrament.
I know.
Let us pray. Loving God, at your table, we are reminded of the blessing it is to be one. To be one with you. To be one with one another and all the saints of the church. And one in ministry to all the world. So we pray, Lord, that through this sacred moment, we would receive the grace we need to be one as the church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this past month has been a bit of an exciting one for me. Some of it has been the mundane, like when I unpack a box and I find my phone charger. But some of it is pretty special, like becoming one with the staff, wonderfully blessed and gifted staff, and that sense of becoming one. Or sitting down with our church's leaders, like this past week at our team leaders meeting, and becoming one and leading the church. Or with you as a congregation, whether by the poolside or downstairs or in worship on a Sunday morning, becoming one. It's exciting. It's by God's grace that we are doing so. And I trust that we will continue to find that grace to let this wonderful light shine that we have the capacity to do at Midland First. May it be so. Amen. Amen. Amen.